Hello and welcome to the Tech Tips webinar series presented by the U.S. Small Business Administration and Microsoft. I'm Adalberto Quijada, Director of the SBA's Santa Ana District Office. The SBA's simple but important mission is to help people start and grow businesses that create jobs and power our economy forward. We do this by providing billions of dollars in access to capital, working to ensure small businesses earn their fair share of federal contracts, and by funding a nationwide network of mentors and experts in every field of business. To find your local resources, please visit sba.gov. Small business owners need to understand the importance of technology in running profitable and efficient ventures. That's why I am very pleased my office led the effort to establish this partnership with Microsoft as we present a series of webinars to help you utilize technology in running and growing your business. We're proud to inform, educate, and connect entrepreneurs, and we thank you for viewing today's webinar.
Welcome to the Microsoft and the SBA Tech Tips broadcast series. I want to say thank you so much. We are proud to partner with the SBA to provide small businesses with educational topics that are pertinent to their day-to-day operations. So, you know, we're talking about an exciting topic today, and that's really the Internet of Things, why IoT, that's the acronym, is important to small business. So, you know, we're hearing this marketing term out there, you know, every single day. You're hearing it on the commercials, you're hearing it on the radio, you're hearing people talking about it. But many businesses don't understand that, you know, if it could actually be applicable to them and, you know, how it might help them, run their business, maybe, become more operationally efficient, or basically just, you know, what is it and how does it really apply? So, you know, we're going to have a great presentation today. So my name is Sherman Krancer, and I'm the Senior Partner Channel Development Manager for the Western United States. What I wanted to do is just put up my contact information. You can always get a hold of me if you need to at skrancer@Microsoft, or you can go to LinkedIn and go ahead and request to connect. I'm happy to accept those invitations. Or lastly, you can follow me on Twitter at hashtag Sherman Krancer. So let's move into the agenda. So I think, you know, with the agenda today, you know, we're going to, you know, basically go through a walkthrough of the Internet of Things. We're going to talk about examples that are going to help, you know, understand, how this applies to you in the future of the Internet of Things. We're going to talk about the challenges and how, you know, businesses are changing the way they're doing business and what are the tough things to do that. But then we'll get into the solutions and how that applies to the SMB marketplace. And then lastly, we're going to talk about why SMB, small to medium-sized businesses, should use IoT, which is the Internet of Things. So next, I want to introduce a near and dear friend of mine, a visionary in the marketplace here, runs a great company. His name is Mark Oliver. Mark, would you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you and your company and what you do?
Thanks, Sherman. My name is Mark, and I am president, operator of Group Oliver. We are based here in Southern California, and we help our customers succeed through technology. And we're here today talking about the Internet of Things. We're going to have some examples and talk a little bit about the things that we can do. And it really is kind of a neat topic. I was speaking a little while ago about, you know, this seems like it is going to be the next evolution of the differentiator that is going to help put people further ahead of their competitors.
Great. Actually, let's just go back here real quick. Go back to your slide. I just want to let the audience know that if you need to get a hold of Mark, you know, you can always contact him at moliver@groupoliver.com. I think that when you hear us all talk about it, if you need to talk about IoT, there you go. All right. So, you know, the next thing is really what is the Internet of Things? In the past, You know, we actually, the Internet of Things is more of a term that's out there, that it's kind of like the latest buzzwords or bunch of buzzwords, but it's been around for actually quite a long time. I think in the past, we have had a hard time harnessing the power of the Internet of Things, as we will explain it, because of connectivity issues, really. You know, 5 or 10 years ago, you know, we had lower end bandwidth, as well as we didn't have, you know, the accessibility of everything being connected, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. So the scale of the projects may have been smaller. However, there are some incredible things that are happening today, and it's not just in big business. It is in small business. It's in, you know, everyday businesses learning how to take information that's out there and, you know, putting it to good use. So, you know, Mark, why don't we go into explaining, you know, the defining the Internet of Things?
So, you know, if we talk a little bit about, you know, what is the Internet of Things, and what the Internet of Things really is it is the culmination of being able to combine the various bits and pieces and all the things that we have. It's connected, because bear in mind, we no longer have islands of information, because if they're not connected, it doesn't do you any good. And then we've got a ton of data. You know, we've got all this data where we just collect stuff. Well, the real power of all that, though, is what do we do with this data? How do we analyze it, or the analytics portion of it? So, you know, defining the Internet of Things, you know, it's we've got our devices, or we got things. We got connectivity, we've got information, we got analytics. And what just makes this so exciting is it's no longer, you know, this pie in the sky thing where, boy, wouldn't it be neat if we were able to do this? You know, we have it today. And so what we're going to talk a little bit about today is, okay, how do we do this, or what are some of the examples?
Now, Mark, if you're looking at the things, right, you're probably saying that it's all things connected. So it could be mobility, it could be the refrigerator, the microwave, the cars, those different types of things. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Okay.
And you know, and Sherman, I'll, you know, making fun of you. You know, everybody talks about, you know, the refrigerator.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we talk about, hey, you know, wouldn't it be great if the refrigerator tells when our milk is going to spoil? Well, that's cool. That's
okay.
Neat. But the real power of that, though, is if I'm coming home from work and I know ahead of time that I got sour milk, though, so I don't have to learn about that in the morning when I'm dumping it on my cereal and I'm wasting my cereal, and it kind of gets my day set off wrong the next day. So really what we're talking about is, how do we use this in the real world to make it powerful so it is useful? And that's, you know, the refrigerator is a great example from that standpoint. And I normally roll my eyes when I think about it, because some of the things we're going to talk about here a little bit are some of the more powerful examples of what businesses are starting to look at and how we make it scalable.
And the connectivity part of it, you're talking about RFID tags, or what, explain that to me so that the audience can understand connecting smaller things.
Exactly. I mean, an RFID tag is just a little tag or a device that we can attach to packages, we can attach it to components, we can attach it to shipping material, we can attach it to, you know, virtually anything. And then contained within that, it has the information about what it is, and then it communicates, you know, on up the stream, so that more importantly, you know, we're able to, one, be connected, two, we get that information, and then, you know, hey, how do we analyze it?
That's amazing. Okay, great. All right, well, yeah, just go back into the Internet of Things opportunity.
So anyway, some of what's going on with this today is, and again, this is not something that we're just dreaming up and, you know, and saying, gee, wouldn't this be neat? You know, there's some major research going into this, and, you know, Gartner, IDC, they're looking at this, and in essence, what they're saying is 70% of the value of IoT is going to be in B2B scenarios. So we're going to talk a little bit about that here shortly and give a little bit more examples with that. But the thing that I look at, and it I hate to use the word frightens me, but I look at it, it just boggles my mind, is, you know, I hear potentially we're going to have 25 billion connected things by the year 2020. And initially, you know, I look at that and I go, no, that just can't be. That's not possible. Intel, you know, and again, I am a little bit of a techno-weenie, so, you know, I do some things that, you know, most people might not do. You know, the other day, I ran a network scan at my home, and there's only four of us there. Well, you know, after doing that, you know, we had 15 different things that were connected. And, you know, and I look at that, and, you know, it wasn't even a busy day. I mean, two of the kids are gone. It was just my wife and I as I'm running that. So it gives you some idea of the amount of stuff that is going to be connected. Then the other part that really gets some business people, ought to get them to start sitting up straight, is, you know, the market for this is going to be huge. You know, we're talking $1.7 trillion by the year 2020. So it truly is something that's staggering.
I heard a stat that there's going to be more connected things, sensors, than sand on a beach. And I don't know if you heard of that, but I was recently looking at a study and I was like, oh my gosh, that really puts things in perspective, because, you know, you're looking at sand, right? You go to the beach, you put it all the sand and you're like, oh my gosh. But that is how many connected sensors, whether, you know, it's an internet connection. And then the example of what you just mentioned, Mark, about your home, that's frightening. You know, my goodness, how many different connected devices do you have? And we all have it now, right? With all these mobile phones and hotspots and different things. So that's really, really interesting stuff. Well, you know, moving into the next slide, it's really talking about, you know, Microsoft's investment principles for IoT. And you know, while, you know, we are a provider, you know, we're a partner with SBA, there are other companies that are providing IoT, but we have investment principles that we kind of go over. And I think that they would apply to just about any scenario. And that's basically, you know, we have three specific steps, and that's one is enabling connectivity to both of your existing and your new devices. A lot of companies today, you know, have devices that are connected to the internet, but they're not connected in the way of an Internet of Things type of configuration where they're getting their data. And so they're losing an opportunity. So, you know, we feel that it's really important to enable connectivity for all of the devices and then bring it in. You know, we do feel that, you know, you need to facilitate, you know, new insights by taking that data that you're getting in, right? And the data can be many different things. You know, it can be a store, or a store that's actually, you know, a convenience store, tracking how many people are coming in depending on the hour or the minute of the day, or, you know, tracking register sales, you know, between hours, to seeing which one is, you know, the most optimal hour to have the sales or whatnot. But lastly, you know, our last principle is, you know, after you find those insights, being able to put together a fast solution for deployment for, you know, customers out there that want to use the Internet of Things. So, you know, basically it's enabling connectivity, facilitating the new insights, finding what data is going to help you out, and then, you know, enabling the fast solution. So next, you know, what we want to do is also frame. You know, we've tried to frame IoT and kind of what it is and some principles, but why don't we kind of go into just some quick examples to help understand, you know, the future of, you know, this term, you know, of IoT. And if you go into, you know, organizations today, and we'll actually, you know, look at them and go over them later on, but I just want to kind of, you know, highlight them. Lido Stoneworks, ThyssenKrupp Elevator Company, Autoliv, and Rockwell Automation, oil firms, you know, that are out there with their pipelines and their oil derricks. They are all benefiting from IoT because they're taking information that was just sitting there, never collected, and basically put out. So why don't we go back, shift it back over to Mark here. Let's talk about predictive maintenance.
So, you know, the real issue, or, you know, I'll use the term where the rubber starts to hit the asphalt, is when you can actually make something happen. So what I'd like to talk about now is imagine if you could automatically identify and fix problems before they happen. And imagine, and, you know, the example that I was teasing Sherman with about it a minute ago, with the refrigerator and the spoiled milk on the way home. I mean, imagine if you could avoid doing that. And imagine the savings and time where you could wheel by and, you know, duck out of your way to make all that happen on your way home rather than, oh shoot, now I'm missing my breakfast and all that other good stuff. So imagine what that would do. And the key thing is with this is, imagine if you could identify what it is that you wanted your outcome to be. Whether it's 100% uptime, whether it's no spoiled milk, whether it's, you know, I want, you know, 100 people to come by and look at a given display within my store. You know, what is that output? Imagine if you could do that. And then imagine if you could capture that information. And by capturing that information, what it enables you to do is actually manipulate it and look at it and get better at it. So that, you know, most people, they're happy if they're better today than they were yesterday. Well, the only way we can do that is we've got to be able to measure it. So imagine being able to do that in a seamless fashion. And then we set something up so we can validate it. We look at it, we see what's going on. And then obviously the most important issue is, imagine if you're able to fully integrate that within your operation so that it becomes seamless. And then you're able to move forward and act on that in a way that allows you to be truly better tomorrow than what you were today. So that's really what we're here talking about is imagine being able to do that in a seamless fashion. One thing that I like to, you know, we can bring this up and one thing that gets people in trouble a little bit, they always think, oh boy, this is really complicated, man. We gotta get this down to the gnat's eyebrow and we've got all this weird stuff going on. Well, let's imagine that we're running a vending machine company and I got a bunch of Coke machines that are out in the field, and you know, my job is to make sure those Coke machines are dispensing, you know, the soda and taking in money to do that. And what I want to be able to do is I want to make sure that all my machines are dispensing the soda when they get the correct money, and I'm able to keep them full, I'm able to keep the machines running, and I want to be able to be predictive ahead of time so that I know what's going on. And, you know, ideally speaking, this is the simplicity of what everybody wants to be able to do. So in an IoT or Internet of Things, the devices are connected, they're giving us our information, we're able to analyze it, and we know what's going on.
So if you look at the scenario with Carl, you know, Carl is, he owns the vending machine company, right? And he has the vending machines. And I just wanted to take a look, you know, the third graph, where the graph area is in red, I think Carl notices that each one of those graphs is one of his machines, right? Is that how you're framing this, Mark?
Sure. The way I look at this is, okay. Let's give a worst case scenario. Uh-huh. Worst case scenario, a bad situation is your machine's broken.
Uh-huh.
And maybe that's our yellow one, and it's just okay. Sitting there doing nothing.
Uh-huh.
But let's say the worst case scenario is not only is our machine broken, it doesn't take money, but it still gives out product.
Okay.
So, you know, that's kind of what I was imagining as we're putting this together.
Oh, great. Yeah. So he really wants to have, you know, green on the graph all the way across. He wants to make sure that all of his machines are actually working at tip-top shape, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Great. Perfect.
So in the scenario that we're discussing, you know, let's say that Carl, typically he's got his route and he wheels by every machine or every location once a week and he restocks it and collects the money and moves on to the next one. Well, the beauty of having IoT and being able to gather this information and be able to collect this information is to eliminate the occurrences that we were talking about here just a minute ago with the red and the yellow. It would be a wonderful thing if we would know ahead of time that, hey, I've got a broken machine. And not only is this machine broken, it's spitting out sodas, you know, to anybody that walks by. So, you know, there we have, you know, this is a problem avoidance issue. Well, the other part that would be really slick is maybe, you know, we've got a Coke machine that happened to be down the street from some sort of venue that had a concert over the weekend, and all the concert goers were going to the machine and they bought out all the soda. So now it's empty. I mean, we had a great week because we sold out, but wouldn't it be nice if we knew ahead of time, hey, we got an inventory problem over here as well, so that we could reroute ourselves and take care of that. So again, now we start to get dynamic. And by being dynamic, what we're able to do is we're able to send our driver out with the correct materials, and maybe we reroute them differently this week than what we did last week, because we've got a machine that's out, so we want to take care of that one right away, and we got another machine that's empty, so we want to restock it right away. And so we want to do this in a fashion that's the most efficient, most effective, and obviously it allows us to make the most money.
That's absolutely amazing, though, if you think about it. You know, my gosh, so he can basically monitor all of his devices now, when, you know, just 6 months ago or a year ago, he had no ability to do that. And it was, you know, every week, right? It was a hope and a pray, or hope and a prayer, I guess, right?
Absolutely. And in reality, you know, Carl probably smart enough, because he's been in business long enough where he fundamentally knows, hey, when I hear this weird chirping noise, I know that the compressor's starting to go. So, you know, I know that I'm going to have to replace that in the next month or so. But, you know, what we really want to be able to do is we want to know which machines have failed. We want to have the predictive capability so that it's like, hey, we don't want to start replacing, you know, expensive parts before we have to. And then also we want to be able to plan for it, because when we plan for it, then it's easy. You know, we've got the guy out in the truck, we've got the right materials, we've got the right schedule, we know what's going to happen. So that's really where the beauty of being able to do this comes into play.
I think, you know, the other thing too is, if you look at this you know, what you're putting up here, these are things that small business, that this is a perfect example of a micro business, really, right? That would never have asked these questions before in the past, and therefore did not have the ability to predict, right, different things. So I think, you know, gosh, these questions and solutions that you're putting up are really fantastic, and they really apply to SMB.
Exactly, and I think a lot of people do it on a by guess and by golly, mm-hmm. but, you know, why guess when you can know?
Yeah, great. So can you tell us a little bit about the architecture?
Sure. You know, the key thing with the architecture here is not getting, you know, completely into the bits and bytes about what we're doing here, but the key thing with what we're trying to do is we need to understand that we're able to gather this information, and the connectivity is, yeah, it's through the cloud, but we want to be able to get a hold of it locally so we can look at it with our spreadsheet. We want to be able to have different scenarios so we're actually able to do it. And then on top of that, what we want to be able to have is we want to be able to do the data mining. You know, we want to find out, hey, what's going on? We want the application or the API so that it plugs into our existing systems, so it actually works and we're able to look at it. And then we want to have some sort of dashboard so we look at it, so we don't have to spend, you know, days and days looking at teeny little font, and we're scrambling, you know, we're scrolling through all kinds of windows where we're trying to find just that last little nano, you know, bit that's off a little bit. You know, we want it to pop up so that, you know, hey, I want to know green, I want to know yellow, I want to know red. And then I want to be able to look at that and have the system help me make whatever decision I need to make it easier.
That's great. All right, so, you know, the next thing is really remote monitoring. You know, we talked about, you know, being able to track devices, right? We talked about that, you know, when we had predictive maintenance, right? But now we want to get into remote monitoring. And really what remote monitoring is, you know, to frame it, to kind of put it in an example, is imagine a oil company, right, that's got, you know, oil rigs all over, you know, the state of Idaho, per se, let's just for example purposes, or they have a pipeline, right? And, you know, they look at that and they think, gosh, you know, we need to make sure that everything is working all the time. We need to make sure that we can predict when a piece or a part's going to break. Okay, so if you have, you know, 20 oil rigs, but most of the time these oil rigs may be completely out of, you know, the local city center, so maybe 200 or 300 miles away. And just imagine if instead of, you know, something breaking at that oil rig and sending somebody out there 2 hours to drive and find the part and go back, you know, to get the part and come back, well, you know, your oil rig is not, or your derrick is not actually producing. Imagine if you could now monitor, okay, all of the machinery that's actually in the oil rig, right? Or monitor the pipeline right? Monitor how many gallons or how, you know, what is the throughput on the pipeline to make sure that there isn't any ruptures or there isn't any problems with the pipeline. So that's really what remote monitoring using Internet of Things really is. And it's basically, you know, you establish these monitoring objects and requirements. You know, for example, one of these oil companies actually had the oil rig and they had several different parts and they knew that, you know, several different parts had an end of life to them. But so what they did is they put little sensors on all those different parts and would basically monitor the performance of those sensors to ensure that they keep it up. And then they would basically be able to, you know, use, you know, predictive analysis, advanced, you know, machine learning, right, artificial intelligence to basically, you know, predict when that part was going to break. So now instead of sending their, you know, their maintenance worker to go find a fixed part, now they are actually sending them with the part that's about to break and actually fixing it. And that's really what, you know, remote monitoring really is. And it's basically establishing, you know, your monitoring objectives. So you put your little sensors where they are. You profile the devices that we're going to go ahead and want to make sure that we're looking at. You know, we want to determine additional, you know, solution components. You know, what else can we do? We want to categorize the data. That's kind of the timeline on it, right? So what data is really important? You know, do you need to know what the temperature is outside, or do you need to know if the throughput is at its maximum you know, level? So the throughput is the one that you want to, you know, categorize as high importance. You want to define all of the alerts and actions, and then lastly operationalize and, you know, solution and scale. And that's where, you know, these oil companies are basically be able to monitor and actually have the highest output of all of their you know, their devices, you know, year over year. So, you know, that's really what, you know, remote monitoring really is using IoT. It's really amazing. It's when you see it and you see it, you know, actually in process, in working with a dashboard, and you can see all the different oil rigs, you know, going up and down the sensors. It really is just amazing. So, you know, let's move out of that for a little bit. So I think we've kind of framed, right, you know, what IoT is and what it could be to the small to medium-sized business owner. However, while all of these things are incredibly great and fantastic, there are some challenges to doing this. And, you know, one of the challenges that we had talked about, you know, earlier on is 5 years ago. And what was that challenge? One, well, it was connectivity. Right? So you're having less and less of that challenge with connectivity. You're having a lot of innovation, but there are a lot of challenges to this. Otherwise, everybody would be doing it. So, you know, Mark, why don't you kind of cover some of the challenges that you see when, you know, you're talking to clients that are utilizing or wanting to utilize IoT?
Sure. Well, one of the things to bear in mind is, you know, IoT projects, they can be complex. And quite frankly, some of the things that we've talked about today with the examples that we've got are things that can be done today. Unfortunately, the challenge of making it happen where the average company or where it's available to everybody is the cost is just too high. And why are the costs high? Well, we've got long timelines. If we're doing something where our timeline is measured in years to put together, and you're sitting here thinking, well, but my product life is only 2 or 3 months, I mean, that's crazy. You're not going to do something like that. So then on the flip side, you know, you also want to make sure that you can scale it. So in the olden days, what would happen is you'd sit down and you'd say, okay, gee, you know, Mr. Shopping store owner, you want to be able to measure, you know, the number of people that are coming into your store and how long they're staying at a given display and what's going on with that. So you say, okay, well, what is that? And it's like, oh, gee, I think there's about 10,000 people come by here a day. So you got a scale for 10,000. So that now means that even though my shopping season is 3 months, I got a scale for 10,000. And gee, it might get bigger, so I'm going to scale for 15,000. And now I got to pay for that. So it's hard to scale, and that it also makes it very, very expensive. And then lastly, it was very difficult to customize. You know, one of the biggest challenges is, you know, well, gee, that's great, but it doesn't fit for me. So, you know, you end up coming up with a team of people and you come out with that. And, you know, to Sherman's example, you know, it's one thing if you're Exxon and you know, you're one of the largest organizations in the world, well, okay, that's fine. You might be able to do that. But if you're a regional provider, you don't have unlimited funds. You don't have unlimited time. So it's very difficult to do something like that. So the complexity makes it a real challenge.
So, you know, with that though, let's just hang on there. But you've talked to a lot of clients that, you know, while it can be, but even for small business, because if you look at Carl, you know, with the vending machines, that probably wasn't a super big expenditure compared to the gain in revenue that he received. Would that be correct?
That's exactly true.
Okay. Great. Yeah, so I know that you've done a lot of projects, and you know, the projects you have for small to medium-sized business haven't, you know, done this, but they can be. And I think that's what we're trying to explain, is they can be depending on the size, right, or
and
the complexity.
I think why I'm sharing this is that, you know, we're back at, you know, imagine if you could do this. And I think a lot of people have imagined it, and a lot of people like that idea. But the unfortunate thing is they figure, that's not for me. I can't do that. Well, you know, the reality of it is today, you probably can. So that's what we're here to talk about today.
Great.
So along with doing that, you know, we've got some nice opportunities. Part of you know, what we're talking about today is within Microsoft's Azure IoT suite is there are pre-configured solutions that takes care of one of our biggest problems. One of our biggest problems is, hey, how do we do this custom application? Well, you don't have to. We've got solutions that are pre-configured. We've already got some dashboards and visualization that's there. The beauty of doing something like that is now all of a sudden, you know, without months and months or years of development, we can put something together and we can hit the ground running. Then on top of that, you know, we've got some workflow automation. I mean, you know, Carl, as our example of, you know, he's the guy where he's got his route and he's got his 100 different machines and all that. Well, you know, we're talking about soda dispensers. There's probably other examples out there as well that do similar things. I know of, you know, there's bakery manufacturers where what they do is they have equipment out in the field where they've got ovens and they've got packaging equipment and they've got conveyors and whatnot. And part of their maintenance and support contract is they have people go there and they fix all that to make sure that the bakery is always up and going and supporting things. Well, part of doing this is it's now automated, so they don't have to completely think about this all the time. And the beauty is it's no longer firefight or chasing your tail trying to put something together. It's like, oh yeah, we know that guy's gonna have problems here in a couple of months. I got a guy that's gonna be near there in the next week or so. I'll make him do a little detour and get it all taken care of. So part of that is the stream of processing with the predictive analysis. Then obviously that's part of included with that is you know, we've got our data. We're with that data, it automatically takes care of some of the command and control. It becomes obvious what we're supposed to do. Then, you know, obviously then at the top of our stack is we've got our devices and they're connected. We've got them under management. We know what's going on. It now becomes easy, which, you know, for me in my world, I like it easy. I like to know what's going on. I like, you know, that I don't like excitement when it comes to business thing. I very much, you know, the term I use frequently is I like to plug and chug. So that's really what we're trying to do with this with this suite.
Well, I love that, plug and chug. So, you know, back to a couple of these points real quick. So the stream processing and predictive analytics, that's the part where we utilize machine learning, really, artificial intelligence, basically being able to predict 6 months out. And you know, we also like to say this, that the, you know, while we are talking about the IoT suite that we have, you know, there are other organizations out there that provide IoT. But you know, Mark, when you're putting together one of these you know, programs or ideas, I think the planning stage is probably, you know, really planning and trying to figure out what they want to do and what they want to achieve is probably the most important thing, right? First, before you kind of get into this suite of services, regardless of who you're using.
Absolutely. You know, without planning, I mean, you've got to walk into it with a plan on, okay, what is it that I'm trying to achieve? You know, what is my problem? What, you know, imagine what the best case scenario or the best case solution would be, then you build everything behind it. That's really what you want to do.
So we got to use that word imagine, right? Just imagine, imagine, imagine. That's our buzzword today is imagine, which is awesome. All right, so let's, you know, move on. You know, so, you know, now that we've kind of talked about that and some of the challenges, you're probably wondering, you know, what is the solution for small business? I wondered that for a long time myself. And you know, maybe, Mark, why don't you go over some examples to kind of see some of the solutions for that some small businesses have used.
Sure. Well, we can do that. And, you know, we talk a little bit about some of the things that people have done. You know, we had the ThyssenKrupp, the elevator company. They wanted to go beyond the industry standard of preventative maintenance. They wanted to offer a predictive and even do preemptive maintenance. I think that's, you know, back to my silly example that I talk about with the sour milk. You know, we want to know ahead of time when we have that.
So they want to make sure the elevators are going up and down all the time. That's basically what they were trying to do, huh?
In my mind, the epitome of sour milk is being stuck in the elevator.
It's stuck in the elevator. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, Pier 1 Imports, I think we discussed that a little bit about, you know, some of the personalized offers and wanting to know, hey, how many people are going by a given booth or a given you know, display? What are they doing? So, you know, what they wanted to do is they truly embrace the cloud. You know, it helps operations. You know, I can't talk today. I brushed my teeth this morning. Now I can't do anything with my mouth. But anyway, what we're trying is we're trying to have technology quickly, you know, react to our business needs. You know, we want to know ahead of time of what's going on, or if not ahead of time, we want to know real time. Hey, for some reason we're selling these like hotcakes, we need to do something about it. And maybe it isn't selling something like hotcakes, maybe something else is happening super fast, but we want to be available, we want to know about it, rather than at the end of the day going, oh shoot, I wish I knew about this earlier. So the other part though that's also going on is with the, you know, and again, I'm, you know, we want to have things that are smart. Talking about using the cloud, you know, Azure is the cloud, and it's ushering in, you know, self-service so that we can have the analytics for the masses. We don't have a team of programmers sitting down and you know, working with a bunch of mathematicians trying to figure out what's going on. This gets into some of the predictive stuff. This gets into some of the machine learning that we've been talking about.
Yeah. So Carnegie Mellon, I think they wanted to use the sensor data to, instead of being reactive, being, you know, proactive to issues that were happening within their campus. And it's very interesting. You know, there's so many different applications, right, for IoT, just so many different. And once again, I think even in this particular notation, it says imagine, you know, or, you know, we're gonna imagine again, right? Perfect. All right, well, let's move on. Let's now get into, excuse me, why businesses should use the Internet of Things. And I'm gonna give it back to Mark here. He's gonna tell us why you should. If you haven't already, you know, thought or imagined, you know, your own personal way of using it, now, you know, Mark will tell you the other reason why.
So anyway, so, you know, we're back to what we've been talking about, you know, if not at the high level, but, you know, getting underneath the sheets a little bit and kind of looking at it. You know, why do we want to use IoT, or why do we want to worry about the Internet of Things? Okay. In essence, what we want to do, or what everybody wants to do, is they want to be able to capture and use the information so they can make their business better. Reading the headline, it's like, hey, we want to capture and analyze untapped data to transform your business. Okay? We talk about Carl, you know, all Carl wants to do is he wants to dispense his sodas, he wants to collect his money, and he wants to be able to do that in a non-firefight fashion, meaning he wants it to be predictive. So, you know, what really becomes important at that stage in the game is you want to be able to scale with efficiency. Okay, What do we mean by that? Well, gee, Carl, all of a sudden, he's really good at it. And now, because, you know, his 100 machines are being much more productive, and, you know, he doesn't have two of them that are red and yellow every single week, so he's picked up another 20%, which, you know, 20% is a beautiful thing. On top of that 20%, now he's been able to grow his business. Well, now, because he's able to scale, he's now moving ahead without having a huge, you know, I call it the upside down sawtooth, you know, type of expense. He's able to scale it. It's a one-to-one, and sometimes it's less than a one-to-one because we don't have the learning curve with it. And then we're able to act and analyze this information and do that in a fashion that's real time that makes it so that we're much more effective. Then obviously the last part that's also very critical is we need to be able to have this integrate and work with our existing systems. If we've got another island of information that doesn't communicate with anything else, it's like, doggone it, you know, we're not helping ourselves here, because now we still got our different departments and we got our different areas. You know, we need to have everything truly integrate and work all the way through.
Let's go back to connect and scale a little bit and kind of go into those individuals. I remember when you and I were talking a little bit before, you'd mentioned open source, and maybe kind of talk about the icons that are in the bottom left-hand corner of the slide, and then we'll go into analyze and we'll talk about integrate after that.
Sure. You know, one of the things that a lot of organizations are always worried about is, well, gee, we're doing it this way. We've got these devices. Here's what's going on. Do you mean I'm going to have to get rid of them and throw them all out? And the answer to that is absolutely not. I mean, the true power of having everything be cross-platform is, don't care. It's Windows. It's Linux. It's Android. It's Apple. You know, everything works seamlessly all the way across. And that's the, you know, that's also very powerful because it's not a throw out and get new.
That's awesome. Yeah, so it doesn't matter what device they have, if it's a sensor device or whatever, they can actually efficiently put it all together and actually put it into the idea. All right, so now let's go back to analyze and act. You know, one of the things that I think was very interesting about, you know, what you put together here was really the picture of the cloud, really. And it's taking all that information that was probably sitting right before you connected it all, but pushing it up into the cloud, which is basically holding like a bank, as you would say, right? Would you agree with that, or, you know, maybe give me a little more insight on that?
Sure. I mean, you could use the word, you know, you could use the term bank, or the, you know, or, you know, I sometimes refer to it as a bucket. Or, you know, we talk about the columns of information, which, by the way, that's exactly what we don't want, is columns of information. What we're really looking for is we want to be able to have a bucket or a bank of information that we're able to capture that information, you know, pull it out, do things with it, and then move everything forward.
Okay.
And you know, the other part with that I bring up is so many organizations today, they have the raw data. They just don't have the capability of manipulating it or using it in a fashion, because it's, you know, it either sits in a machine or it's off site someplace. You know, we'll talk about Carl again. You know, Carl's got 100 machines out there. All those machines all have the same information, but they're in 100 different locations and we can't get to it. So by putting things up into the cloud, we're able to get to it at a one central location where we can actually do our analysis and you know, then we start to apply our rules and make things happen.
We talked about Power BI last week, and this was very interesting because, you know, with Power BI, Power Business Intelligence, you know, everyone's using Excel spreadsheets and just letting it sit there. And you know, are you actually taking that information and analyzing it, right? Are you actually trying to find patterns? And that's basically what we're doing here is, as you're collecting the sensors, you're putting it into the cloud, which is storing the data, but then it's also analyzing it, right? And would you agree with that?
Exactly. And you know, the thing with Power BI that I think is so cool is, again, it's relative. I mean, I'm going to use the word simple, but, you know, we're not doing machine language coding here. I mean, it's in a language, it's in a form that people are somewhat familiar with. So you're not you know, you're not just having your head explode when you look at it and go, oh my goodness, how am I ever going to learn how to do this? It's in a form and fashion that most people are already somewhat familiar with, and you know, you can learn and you can pick up. So you're not so tied in with, you know, the bit twiddle and propeller head that's down the hall that nobody wants to deal with anymore. You know, it's like, hey guys, you know, this actually works, and it's set up in such a fashion that, you know, people can actually do it that are in the normal sense of the word, you know, normal people.
Great. And then the last column here is, you know, integrating and transforming business processes. So you have a lot of different firms that are actually highlighted, SAP, Oracle, Twitter, Office 365, WebSphere, Salesforce. Can you kind of frame that for me or frame it for the audience?
Of course. And really what we're trying to frame here is get people to understand that, you know, if you're doing this and you've got this business intelligence and you're using the Internet of Things and you got more information, but now it's all of a sudden it's its own thing and it's its own little, you know, island of information, you know, you haven't really helped yourself. Well, I take that back. You probably helped yourself, but you've now created another island or another column of information, which is exactly what we don't want to do. What we want to do is we want to be able to fully integrate this into business systems so that we're able to manipulate this and have it seamlessly move out in such a fashion that makes it easy for the users to pick up, and more importantly, you know, for everybody within your organization to use so that they can do their job better and more effectively.
You know, I think what's also important about this is that this highlights probably what happens in a small to medium-sized business market right now, where a lot of the customers out there, a lot of the businesses that are being run have so many different programs that are running, so many different cloud devices, cloud storage accounts, CRMs, SharePoints, you know, different types of accounting software, right? All these different things, and it seems like there's so much innovation. And that now you have too many different places to pull stuff. In your opinion, when you're seeing clients out there and you know, you're more on the street, what do you think about that, and how does that apply to what you just mentioned?
Well, you know, what I'm hearing are two things. I mean, on the one hand, you know, having the ability and the capability of making things happen is fantastic. We're able to do today, you know, what we couldn't even dream of 10 years ago. So from that standpoint, I think that's super. And all the way around, it's great. We're able to service customers better. We're more effective. We're bigger, faster. You know, everything about that is good. However, I always get very nervous when I hear people talk about, hey, I've got this new thing, let's put this new thing in, and now all of a sudden this new thing, it sits off by itself and it doesn't communicate with anything else. And then I've got to do all kinds of backflips and gyrations to get this new thing to integrate with the other stuff that we're already using today. And you know, I 2 weeks later, you know, we find out that it really doesn't give us what we're looking for, and yet, you know, we're going to use it anyway because, yeah, it kind of sort of works, and yeah, I know it breaks every now and then, but we just go in the back and, you know, we'll flip the switch, and you know, it will reboot everything, and it comes back, and it's okay. That's really what we don't like. So that's really what we're trying to avoid.
Cool. Yeah. So you're putting it all together and, you know, integrating, transforming their business processes, making things actually simpler. They can still use those different programs. We're not saying being an advocate of dropping every program and just do Microsoft stuff. We're not advocating that. We're advocating finding a better way, finding a, you know, different thing to do. All right, let's move on to the next topic. I think you were going to talk about dashboards.
Yeah, talking a little bit about that is with the dashboards, or you know, having things that are pre-configured, that's really, you know, again, I've used this term, so, you know, forgive me, but, you know, when we've got the rubber hitting the asphalt, we're moving forward, you know, the beauty is trying to get things to get started in minutes rather than months and years. And so that's really what we're trying to do with some of these pre-configured solutions. You know, I think that the conversation that Sherman and I had here a while ago, where, you know, one of the examples was, you know, we've got a we've got a we got a plumbing outfit where what they've got out in the field is they've got a bunch of trucks and they've got different plumbers, and you know, they get a phone call back at the dispatch, and the dispatcher says, oh gee, you know, yep, I know exactly what that is, and you know, let me get one of my guys over there to fix it. And the guy gets over to the place to fix it, and he finds out that he needs this last widget that's not on his truck. And because it's not on his truck, the guy drove an hour out of his way to do basically nothing. So now you got an upset customer because they're still down. You got an upset plumber because he has to just drive around. You got an upset owner because, you know, nobody wants to, you know, burn gasoline and have a guy staring through the windshield for an hour. And, you know, it's a big waste. And on the flip side of that, you don't want to all of a sudden say, well, gee, I'm going to put, you know, one of these widgets in every one of my trucks just in case, you know, this ever happens again. Well, maybe this widget costs you $10 million and you only use it once every 10 years. So that's really what the power of having some of this stuff, particularly with Power BI and some of the business intelligence is baked into it, is.
Great. So you can basically start with a pre-configured solution, right, that you have. That can tie in different things and then actually customize it. That's one of the things that I think all companies are striving for, not just Microsoft, but all companies are striving for, that, you know, start with something, you know, easy, pre-configured, that's maybe kind of a base test, a base to it, and then have, you know, the rich visual, you know, format and finish with your total Internet of Things application. We did talk about that with the Power BI last month. You know, having rich visual data, you know, at your fingertips, and you know, opening up your Windows, your Surface, or your iPad, or your HP, whatever computer you have. But imagine if you could just open it up, and your whole business is right there. It's real time. It is happening. It is coming along. I think that's really powerful. All right, so, you know, the next thing is, okay, now we've gone through all of this, we've gone challenges, we've gone in examples, we've talked about, you know, some of the why business should, you know, use Internet of Things. Now, that next thing is getting started. Like, you know, what do you do to get started? We talked a lot about a lot of different things. You know, I think, and I'll let Mark talk about this, but I think, Mark, you'd agree, getting started is starting with, you know, that term that we talked about today is imagine, right? Imagine.
Yeah, I'd hate to keep whipping that, you know, dead horse. We're talking about imagine, but again, that really is where it starts. It's like, you've got to imagine, okay, what is it that I'm trying to do? What do I need? What do I want? You know, and part of that imagine is that's your business plan. You know, and whether or not your organization's been in business now for 10 minutes, 10 days, 10 years, you know, 10 generations, somewhere along the line there's some sort of business plan. And that was part of your imagine. Well, in getting started in this particular situation, you know, we got to have a business plan on what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it that we're trying to do? You know, my buddy Carl, you know, he just wants to dispense sodas, you know, all 100 machines. He wants them to dispense, you know, 365 days a year. And he never wants to run out, yet he never wants his inventory to get stale. That's his plan. So, you know, in doing that, you know, that's his business plan. You know, then obviously after that, you know, you've got to get executive buy-in.
Yeah.
You got to get everybody to agree. And whether or not it's Carl, you know, looking at himself in the mirror when he's shaving in the morning, or it's, you know, you're presenting to your board of directors and saying, hey, this is what we need to do, and this is the direction we're going. Here's where the business is. That's got to be important. Everybody's got to want to do it.
I tell you something, Mark, that's a great point, you know, because, imagine, you know, there's a lot of business owners that are on, you know, today, but there's a lot of, you know, thought leaders that are working for companies, right? And what a better way to ingratiate yourself by, you know, imagining a different business process and then taking it to your executives and getting their buy-in. I'm sure you've probably had to, you know, do that within some of the applications that you provide to your clients, right? Right, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely. And it always starts with somebody somewhere, someplace saying, uh-huh. Hey, we need this. Or is this possible?
Yeah.
Or how do we do this? Or there's got to be a better way.
Or why?
Why is always the funniest.
You know, yeah. Why are we doing it this way? This is, you know, weird, but yeah.
So anyway, so, you know, after you get some sort of buy-in, I mean, you know, the easy part, or I'm saying the easy part, you know, at that stage in the game, you know, you leverage the quick start consultation. I mean, they're available. Sherman's here, you know, you can contact him, you can contact me. I mean, you know, there's lots of people out there that are willing and able to discuss this type of thing and kind of start pointing things down the right direction. And again, you know, the executive buy-in doesn't need to be signing a blank check. It's more of a, yeah, that makes sense. And yeah, we could find a budget for that. Or yeah, that is a real problem. And yes, this is a real problem. It needs a solution, and it's something that, you know, has legs. We're going to be able to do it. And I bring that up just because every now and then, you know, somebody will say, yeah, you know, we've got this product and we're really, you know, it's horrible and I don't like it. Well, come to find out that they're getting rid of it in, you know, next year because they got a new model going out. Okay, maybe you want to live with it for today. So, you know, that's why it's important to have executive management buy-in, because, you know, there's that 1,000-foot level that you need to be aware of as well. And of course, there also is some information available online. We've got the URL up, or it was up there a minute ago, you know, the internetofyourthings.com. Say that 5 times real quick. It won't matter if you brush your teeth or not. You'll never be able to do it. But the point is there are options and there are resources out there that are available, so we can start looking at that. So you can take this, hey, imagine this. What do I have? You know, how can I do that? There's got to be a better way.
That's fantastic. Thanks, Mark. You know, we base these programs on educational content, and, you know, we're really, it's really important to us to have this information for you to learn, you know, sans commercialization. However, you know, Mark is really a thought leader in the industry, and I want to kind of just, at the end of our presentation here, give Mark one final opportunity to kind of just, you know, what his company really does and who he is, and then give you the opportunity to take down his contact information if you would like to contact him about a potential, you know, project or anything, you know, managed IT related, really. Mark?
Hi, thanks, Sherman. And, you know, and again, to reiterate what Sherman just brought up a minute ago, you know, around our office, we use the term sanity check. You know, some people kind of roll their eyes when they say that. I encourage people, it's like, hey, give it a sanity check. You know, hey, is this possible? Or if it was possible, you know, here's how I go about doing it. And whether or not we're the right organization or there is a different organization, normally you can get pointed in the right direction just by picking up the phone, calling, shooting an email. You know, that's exactly how things start to happen. You know, my personal background, you know, I've got a lot of experience doing both, you know, project management as well as electronics manufacturing. And again, back to, you know, Sherman's comment about why. Can't tell you how many times I've been out on a shop floor and we're kind of looking at something. It's like, yeah, why? And, you know, it's just the way it is. So anyway, so, you know, and again, our typical engagement, you know, we work with people's, you know, help them out with their computers. We help the bits and bytes go where they're supposed to go and do what they're supposed to do.
Great, Mark. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it. So, you know, in conclusion, hope that you, you know, are happy with our presentation today. We're so proud to have Mark Oliver on and talking about, you know, the Internet of Things. It's just a fantastic, exciting new technology. Not new, it's been there, but now it can actually be applicable. Exciting technology. Hope you like the program. Want to say, you know, many thanks to the SBA, to the team here at the Microsoft Technology Studios, and say thank you very much. My name is Sherman Kranzer. Here's my contact information. If you need to get a hold of me, you can just email me very simply at skranzer@microsoft.com or send me a LinkedIn invitation. Stay tuned. Next month. On the very first Tuesday, we're going to have an incredible program that ties a lot of this stuff. It's really basically how to calculate return on investment and then tying that in with technology and how we can, you know, utilize our technology to help you, you know, basically calculate that information. So return on investment is the first Tuesday of next month. We look forward to seeing you back. Thank you so much for attending, and have a great day.